The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
This morning, I just want to remind you a little bit about our days of fasting. We as elders have decided that we want to bring the church to a fast. And so every Monday for 8 weeks, we plan on fasting. And you should have received, if you didn't receive before you leave, you can get that little piece of paper concerning about what the fast is all about this week. We're fasting concerning the kingdom of God this week. And just some quick things. I'll stop saying this week by week after today. But because this is new to us, a lot of us, fasting is not something that we've done a lot of. And so we need to be instructed a little bit in it. And we want you to understand that this is voluntary. It always is. No one can make you fast, and we don't want to make you fast. We want this to be a voluntary thing. You might choose to fast a half a day. You might choose to fast the whole day. You might choose to fast all the way till you go to bed at night. If you have, we know that people, we have a lot of pregnancies and medical issues where fasting is just not possible because of that. And if that's your situation, we encourage you to fast from something perhaps that is normal in your life in order to just take that particular time and pray to the living God and confess sin and all those things that go along with fasting. So our great desire is that this experience is going to draw you to the one who loves you most, Jesus Christ. And that's what this is all about. So we encourage you to do this. For me, I hadn't fasted in a long time. I'm very honest with you. And last week I fasted and it was a new experience again. It was like, you know, I can go. And I was talking to one of the other elders and, you know, we can go without eating breakfast or lunch. We just naturally, we just kind of get busy. We don't think a thing about food. But the moment we are purposely fasting from food, all of a sudden it's like, I'm really hungry. You know, I got to have this food. It's like all of a sudden you understand the draw that food has over us. And that is something that we want to loosen that because we want to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you to do that. Again, voluntary, we're calling this a normal fast, and that means basically you fast from all food except for liquids and such. So again, depending on your medical condition, what's going on, we encourage you to do that together with the church. And then we will end this 8-week fast on Thanksgiving, and so thought that was appropriate at that time. So if you would stand with me, please, in the honor of reading God's word this morning. We're reading from Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 and 27. So let me read the word of God. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray this morning. We have some people traveling today. One of the things that I love about worship, and I mentioned this in our little meeting beforehand, is just we are gathering together with literally millions and millions and millions of people who are worshiping the living God this morning. It's mind-boggling that we are doing this. And even in the city of Tyler at this moment, we are gathering together with other churches that love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength as we do. And they're worshiping the living God. And I just think it's an amazing thing that we're all together worshiping the living God throughout the world today. So will you pray with me, please? Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you have brought us here for this purpose today at this particular time in history. Lord, none of us are here by accident. The amazing thing about you is that you are a sovereign God. And so this is no accident that we are here today. And so we lift up your name, we glorify your name, we give thanks to you, we praise your name because you're worthy of all praise. And Lord, thank you so much for our salvation. Lord, can we ever say thank you too much for the fact that we are in Christ, that we have the prospects, the hope of eternal life. And Lord, that when we go, when we die, we will be with you. And Lord, on this earth, we have the prospects of an abundant life to live for the glory and honor of your name. And Father, we pray this morning for many who are traveling. I know even at this moment, pray that you would encourage them, bless them, keep them safe, give them good rest as they vacation a bit. And Lord, we pray for the churches around Tyler this morning. Lord, how grateful we are that in a city like this, we have many churches that love you, that love the word of God. So we pray for the preaching of the word of God this morning in those churches. We pray for the fellowship of the saints. We pray, Lord, that sinners will come to faith in Christ. We pray that Christians, Lord, would be revived. And Lord, that when they go home today, that they will love you more with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, Father, I pray that you would be with us as we look into your word this morning. And Lord, what a magnificent passage this is, that you teach us about that great helper we have, that great prayer helper. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, it's amazing actually to think that we're in the fifth message of our series on the Great Eight. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8. You can figure that out. We have just a few more to go. And our great goal in this series is that you will grasp on to what we're calling the certainties that God has given us in Christ Jesus to live the Christian life in a victorious manner. And so, and because of those certainties, we should live our lives very confidently, trusting completely in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what we've seen so far. We've seen, first of all, our first week we talked about the new position. And that comes from Romans 8:1, that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So our new position is one of no condemnation. We stand right now as not condemned because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an amazing, amazing thought when you consider our hearts and our minds even at this moment. And then we talked about the new guest, God the Holy Spirit, that he actually dwells in us. And that we have the capacity through the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life free from sin. We're able because and only because of the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation and to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, we know we cannot live a sinless life on this earth. We recognize that. But we do have the new guest, God the Holy Spirit, to help us to overcome temptation, to fight temptation. And then we talked about the new adoption, how that we have been placed by God as members of his family, as adult children. And because we're his adult children, we're heirs of God, we're co-heirs of Christ, we are joined to him in suffering and in glorification. And then last week, Kevin spoke to us concerning our new expectation and that the new hope and expectation that we have, that the suffering we have here does not compare, and I love this passage, does not compare with the glory that will be revealed to us. Man, that thought alone, that the suffering we experience on this earth does not even compare with the glory that revealed to us is a wonderful expectation. And we also learned that even creation itself is waiting in hope for its renewal and its liberation in eternity. And so today we move on, and we're going to look at just two verses this morning, and we're going to talk about the idea of the new prayer helper. But before we begin that, let me ask you some questions about prayer this morning. Do you ever feel as if your prayers are going nowhere? I mean, as the old saying goes, they don't go any higher than your head. Do you ever feel like I pray and pray and pray, but nobody's listening, nothing's going on? Do you ever feel that your prayers are not answered? I mean, you've prayed for years and years and years. I know I've prayed for years and years and years for something, and you know what? It hasn't happened yet. It has not been answered. So do we feel like sometimes our prayers are not answered? And do you ever feel like our prayers are not even heard, for instance? Do we feel like that it just goes up somewhere, whatever prayer is, and it just goes somewhere, and that we really are never actually heard? Or do we ever feel like we don't know how to pray in certain circumstances? For instance, in healing, that's a big one, because we know people who have severe issues. But how do we pray? Is it God's will to heal them or not at this point? Do we know that for sure? Or how about jobs? You got a job over here, you got a job over here. Is it time to change jobs? Do we know the will of God for things like that? Or things like how to discipline your children. Do we know what's the best way to discipline our children? And as we pray, do we really get an understanding from God? How do we best discipline our children? Or how do we talk to someone that needs talking to? You know, there are people that we know of that Scripture tells us in Galatians 6, we've talked about this, that we need to go to people and confront them with needs that are very prevalent in their life. But how do we do that? And even for our marriage, I mean, you might feel like in your marriage that things are so bad, they're so messed up, that you don't even know how to pray for it. I mean, you're at that point where you're just going, that's it. I don't know anything more to say. What can I say about this marriage? Well, here's the good news. I have really good news for you today. And Kevin spoke last week about the future hope that we have, that it's not here yet. And that's what hope is. It's just that. It's in the future. And if you remember verses 24 and 25 of Romans 8, it teaches us this. For in this hope we were saved. And notice what Paul says. He says, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And so what Paul now does is he gives us the certainty of a prayer helper. As we wait in that hope and that expectation for what we call the already and not yet that is to come. And so the prayer helper is our present help right now while we wait. And of course, the prayer helper is none other than the new guest that we have already spoken of. It's the third member of the Trinity, but God, the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this new prayer helper, we're going to see how does God, the Holy Spirit, help us in our prayer life. Now, two simple points to the message this morning. One is what the new prayer helper does. We're going to look at that at verse 26. And then secondly, what the new prayer helper and God the Father promises to us in verse 27. So let's dive into what the new prayer helper does. Now, I want you to notice in verse 26, it begins with the word likewise. In other versions, we'll say, you might have a version that says something to the effect of in the same way. And what this is, it's an obvious reference to what he has just told us in the previous verses about hope. Therefore, what Paul does is he assures us that just as hope sustains the creation, that it's going to be set free from its bondage to corruption. And we see that illustrated as in the passage where it talks about its groanings. It's groanings as in the pains of childbirth. It waits for that day when it will be free. And by the way, just a little sideline. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine what creation is going to be like when it is set free from the bondage of sin even? Do you ever look at flowers? Flowers are beautiful things. They're beautiful as they are. But even those flowers, according to what we understand from Romans 8, are tainted by sin in some way. So can you imagine what the real beauty of that flower is when it's going to be taken away, when it's liberated from sin, which is just mind-boggling to me. I always equate it to those, you know, those in chromograph glasses. Have you seen these things? I'm going to get some someday because I have that red-green colorblind, so I don't know what red is. I don't know what green is. But, you know, I see these things, videos where these people put on these glasses for the first time and they see colors like they've never seen before. That's a really good illustration of what we're talking about here when creation itself is freed from this bondage that we speak about in Romans 8. So, in addition, though, hope sustains us during this suffering. That hope that Kevin spoke of last week, it keeps us going amid suffering, knowing that someday the suffering we go through will not compare with the glory we will receive and enjoy in Christ. And so just as the hope keeps creation anticipating freedom and us anticipating the full adoptions as sons and daughter with the redemptions of our bodies, so the prayer helper, as we will see, gives us hope in our prayer life today. And that's what he's talking about when he says, likewise. He's alluding to the idea there is hope because of this prayer helper. Now, what specifically does the prayer helper do? Well, number one, he helps us in our weaknesses. Likewise, the scripture says in verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And literally the idea here is he keeps on helping. He never stops helping us as long as we are alive to help us. He comes to aid us. And this word, this idea of helping us has this idea of carrying a heavy load. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it was actually the Bible of Jesus' day. This word was used to show how the 70 elders that were appointed to serve as judges over Israel were to come to aid and to share the burden of responsibilities with Moses. Moses couldn't judge everything by himself, so he needed some help. And so God said, you get 70 elders to help you judge. And then Exodus says this, and kind of illustrates what this idea of helping is all about. He says, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. Therefore, it will be easier for you. And they, that is the 70 elders, will bear the burden with you. And so this is the idea that the Spirit helps us also. It's more than just simply struggling with us as we deal with our weaknesses. The Spirit actually shoulders our burdens together with us. And what a great encouragement we see here. We're never alone. He helps us by shouldering our burdens. The Holy Spirit always shoulders our burdens. Now, I want you to notice also it says in this passage that he helps us in our weaknesses. Now, what exactly is our weaknesses? Exactly what are those weaknesses? And the weakness that Paul refers to here is really the human condition that we all have and we're going to continue to have from Adam's fall until Christ returns. And it includes a lot of things. And I've put some of the things it includes up there. And one of them is our inability to understand a thing. We cannot even, our weakness is such that we cannot understand things in our lives. It's our inability to restrain our corrupt desires. We all have corrupt desires, and without the Holy Spirit, we can't even restrain those desires. It's our inability to bear trials and tribulations. In the midst of trials and tribulations, how do we handle those things? Our weakness is such that we can't handle those things. And then our inability to do great things. Very simply, we cannot do any good thing or even a great thing for the glory of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. So our weakness is the totality of our sin nature that hampers us from doing anything for the glory of God without him. But nevertheless, this is the good news. The good news of the prayer helper for God the Holy Spirit, he bears our burdens, he helps us in our frailty, in our weakness. So be encouraged about this, that in the midst of all of our weakness, our hope is that the Spirit helps us. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you ever get discouraged because of your weakness? That's kind of a duh question, I realize. But if you are human, I think most of us are, you will get this way. But this is the hope of the gospel. See, now that we are in Christ, now that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we have hope. We have real, sustainable hope that will not disappear. And the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the complete redemption that God promises, he will help us in our weakness. Now, notice what Paul does here. He picks out one area of that weakness, though, in this passage to encourage us during the suffering that he has mentioned in verses 18 through 25, and that is the weakness of prayer. So notice what he says in verse 26, "For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So a second work of the prayer helper is very simple. He helps us to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray for, he says, but then he helps us. "For as we ought," he says. And do you remember some of the questions, obviously, I just gave you in the beginning? Questions like, do you ever feel that your prayers are going nowhere? Questions like, do you ever feel that like you don't know how to pray in some certain circumstances, healings, job changes, how to discipline your children, etc.? Well, here's the answer to those problems. We do not know what to ask in accordance with the will of God by ourselves. That's just true of us. And you know the feeling. Let me give you an example of this, and I mentioned it already, but someone is sick. Do we pray to God to heal that person? What if it's not God's will for that person to be healed at this point? And all of us know that despite the false health and wealth gospel theology of the day, that God does not always heal. Can he heal? You bet he can heal. And does he heal? Oh, yes, he absolutely does heal. But how do you know, for instance, if this is the time that he will do this? And I don't know about you, but I've been in this situation so many times. I really don't know how to pray. What is exactly that I pray for in this instance? Now, I do believe this, though. And I do want you to understand this. I do believe that God at times gives us a particular understanding of faith to believe in an extraordinary way that we should pray for healing, and he does it. I think that happens. I think people receive a special kind of understanding of faith to pray for it, and God, in fact, then does heal. But it's not all the time. And this is a passage that deals with a time of suffering. That's the context here. These people are suffering, creation suffering, we're suffering. And sometimes we just don't have an answer how to pray at this point. But again, here's the good news. We might not know how to pray as we ought, as the scripture says. That is, and what that means is that according to divine necessity or the will of God. But the prayer helper, God the Holy Spirit, knows what to pray for us. Which leads us to the third thing that the prayer helper does, which is he intercedes on our behalf. So notice what it says. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now notice it is the Spirit himself interceding for us in this passage. As we pray, the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for us because we are unsure of how and what to pray. We are literally at a loss. I mean, how should we pray at this moment when it seems like the world is falling in? And I don't care who you are, you have been at some point in your life when the world is falling in. How do you pray at that point? When your children, I hate to say this, seem to be truly full of the devil himself, how do you pray? When your relationship with those whom you love are falling apart, when you're just downright so tired that you want to die. Have you ever been there? I think most of us have, actually. And you're in good company because Elijah, do you remember the story of Elijah after he was on Mount Carmel and he does all these things and he is just spiritually depleted, and then Jezebel chases him, and Ahab and Jezebel, and he's chased literally for, runs a marathon, and he sits down underneath a tree and he just says, God, I'm the only one that's perfect or that's holy. Everybody else has abandoned you. And he says, I just want to die. And literally, he wanted to die at that point. He wanted to commit suicide even. That's what that passage is actually saying. And I don't know about you, but maybe we've been there. We've been at that point, we are just so tired that we just want to give up. Now, that's the context of this passage. For I consider, he says in verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time, sufferings, these are real sufferings. In addition, yes, it's true that most suffering does pass away, okay? But nonetheless, it is real suffering at the time. I mean, we have little sufferings to big sufferings. You know, I'll tell you a little suffering in my life, and I know you're going to be very sympathetic to this. When I was in 10th grade, this was just a few years ago. But anyway, when I was in 10th grade, I took Algebra 2. I hated Algebra 2, and it seemed to hate me. And so I literally would go home, big boy, athletic boy that I was at the time, I would go home and I would cry in my room over Algebra 2. I would have physical tears at that point. You say, what is wrong with you? Well, lots of things, but we have time for that. But the point is that that's the kind of thing that at the time, that's real suffering to us. Well, even in those moments that, you know, I don't care too much about that. I don't think about it too often, or do I? But the point is, this is what we're talking about. This is how God the Holy Spirit comes to us in the context of whatever suffering we are presented with. It could be great suffering, but we're at a loss as to what to pray. But here's the good news in Romans 8 again. God the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for us. And moreover, the great news is that it's in the present tense again here in this passage. He keeps on interceding. He never stops interceding for us. And he does so with passion. And this is what I love about this passage, is that the Holy Spirit, he does so with passion. He groans with groanings too deep for words. These groanings are passionate groanings. And remember, the scripture teaches us in this passage earlier that the natural creation groans. In verse 22, it tells us that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And that believers groan. We see that in verse 23, that we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then here in verse 26, the Holy Spirit groans. Now, there are some people, some really, really good people too, smarter than I even, that believe that this is our groaning, that the scriptures are teaching us that this is our groaning. And I'm just going to tell you, I do not. I believe it is clear in this passage that it's the Spirit who groans. But I want you to notice that his groanings here are too deep for words. These groanings, they're inexpressible. They're unspeakable. They're not to be uttered. They're not expressed in words. And I really believe they're metaphorical groanings, but they do express, they're real groanings, but they express the deep concern of the Holy Spirit for our needs. Oh, how he loves you and me, that he is willing to pray for us with groanings, with such deep, deep groanings for you and I when we do not know what we ought to pray. So we have a new prayer helper, and he helps us in our weakness. He helps us to pray, and he intercedes on our behalf. And now secondly, what does the new prayer helper and God the Father promise us? Now, this is a tough passage for me. So I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to give you a little autobiographical thing of what I go through, okay? So I spent much time wrestling with the beginning of this verse. And sometimes I felt like I was pinned, but I was wrestling. That's a little wrestling joke, by the way. And so I did my diligence in sermon preparation. I prayed. I meditated on the passage. I did word studies. I did some cross-referencing to those words. I outlined. I wrote out possibilities. I emailed the most brilliant man in the church, Crockett, with a little bit about other parts of the passage that I thought might help me understand this part. And then I went to old dead guys, and then I went to younger alive guys, and still I really couldn't see the connection of this verse with the other verses. Now, in the process, I also found out that a lot of people down through the ages had trouble with this passage, and I also found out that when you start reading 1 Peter, that he says this about Paul, that there are some things in them, that is in Paul's writings, that are hard to understand. This is one of them, okay? I just want you to know. So, all that to say, as I did word studies, I did find out this. So let me give you what I found out. I found out that the he mentioned there was God the Father. That the word searches, that he searches, has the idea of a very careful, investigative search idea. Or even as we would search for gold, that meticulously, or as we would go on a hunt even, that's what that idea of the search meant. And then the word hearts was in reference primarily to our intellects, but secondly to our emotions and in our will, which was influenced by the thoughts on our minds. And so here's the result of all that. You ready for this? Here it is. God the Father carefully, even meticulously considers in an investigative sense our minds, what we're thinking. And he sees the emotion in our will because of that thinking. To find out what, and here's where the context comes in, what our deepest needs are for prayer purposes. He understands that we groan inwardly as we eagerly await the adoption as sons, and then specifically the redemption of our bodies and what our needs are. And that leads us then, to help us understand this passage, to the next promise, which is to know the mind of the Spirit. So God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. It says, and he who searches hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit. So God the Father, in the mystery of the Trinitarian fellowship, he knows intuitively what the Spirit is praying. That groaning, that is groaning with silent words. He knows the mind or the purpose or the inclination of the Spirit. In other words, God knows our desires, he searches our hearts, and the Holy Spirit's desires. And one commentator said this, what he sees in the mind of the Spirit are the nonverbal groans that convey the contents of the saints' certain and unspoken prayers. So this is what God does. He searches our hearts and mind so that he knows our desires and the Holy Spirit's desire and how they work together to accomplish what God does. Once. And then the new prayer helper thirdly promises this, to intercede for us according to the will of God. And here is the best part of all of this. The Spirit, the new prayer helper, he brings petitions with a sense of urgency before the Father for us. You'll notice we are called the saints, and we are saints according to the will of God. You remember what 1 John 5 tells us, verses 14 to 15, he says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. You see, the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God. And then the will of God will be answered ultimately because of what Jesus said in John 14, 13, where he tells us that whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, and here it is, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, the Father will be glorified in the Son because it's the will of God. It can't be otherwise. So when we come to these moments, when we don't know what to pray, when suffering is such that we have no answers, we fall on our face before the living God and we cry out to him. Sometimes, literally, with no words. And we groan inwardly. And the Holy Spirit groans, interceding for us according to the will of God. Have you been there where you have literally had to fall down on your face because you don't know what to pray for? And you words don't make it anymore. You can't even think about, well, what words are going to come out that mean anything? You're just sitting there, and you don't know what to do. That's what we're talking about here. And we can be assured of this, that prayers are lifted before the Father that are absolutely perfect. And we do not need to worry about our lack of words. Because that's the point. We throw ourselves upon the one who loves us perfectly, and goes before the Father with these petitions, interceding for us. And oh, what a great comfort that is. So if you're here this morning and you've been just wrecked by things in your life, whether it's things that are going on in your marriage, whether it's the things going on with your kids, at work, or you name it, know you have a prayer helper that you know now how to pray rightly. You will pray according to the will of God. How? Because God, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So now you know how to pray too for that loved one that you don't know how to pray for. And now you know how to pray for that area of your life that you don't know how to pray for. Because here's what the scripture says. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, there's an old song by a guy named William Cooper. And he wrote these two lines. And he said this, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I love that. That Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And I would say this, that when we come before him, just not knowing anything to pray for, we might think we're the weakest saints, but we're that weak saint praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. So be encouraged today that here is a certainty that you have, the new prayer helper, that he will help you no matter what in your prayer life today. So let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. God, I get so overwhelmed sometimes by the perfection of your word and how it speaks exactly to where we are in our day and age. God, how many of us cry out to you and we have no clue how to cry out properly? Lord, there are so many times, and yet there are so many other times where we can pray exactly what you want us to pray because we have the Word of God which gives us your will for very specific things. But Lord, there are some times we just don't know what to pray. And so this morning, Lord, we've been encouraged that this new prayer helper, God the Holy Spirit, he indwells us, he groans for us with unutterable phrases for the glory and the honor of your name, and he prays according to your will. And how we thank you this morning for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.